Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. Another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. Even though there are not so good things going on in the world, the Lord still has given us reason to rejoice and be glad in it. What do people know about you, especially those who are close to you? Do you have to bribe them not to tell anyone about some of the things that you have done or are doing? How about people that are not as close to you, but you have had some interaction with to some degree? What do they learn about you, even if it is a brief interaction? As we reflect on our answers, may we take to heart the words of our Lord for this day. May they resonate within us and then lead us to further positive action during the week. I invite your attention now to our invocation, page 3 of our worship bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His
sins. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our first hymn. I invite you to please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this fifth Sunday of Easter in our church year, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 20, emphasizing the fact that love for God following His heart and will, such love on our part does not need then to seek the spotlight. Then Jonathan said to David, I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed toward you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, May the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Love is defined for us. It includes words and actions. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Please read the emboldened words when we get to them. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient.
Love is kind.
It does not envy.
It does not boast.
It is not proud.
It does not dishonor others.
It is not self-seeking.
It is not easily angered.
It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects,
always trusts,
always hopes,
always perseveres.
Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 13th chapter. A way to honor Jesus and to be identified with him is through our words of actions and also words of love. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on his word this morning. We hear once again these words from the Gospel of St. John, the 13th chapter. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully has shown great love to us and then puts us in a position to show his great love to one another. I was 15. He was 16. He said he loved me. And if I loved him, well, then I would do this for him. You can fill in how the rest of that story goes, which happens way too often. Shortly after she did what he wanted of her, out of what was thought love, he bolted. If he really loved her, and or vice versa, that action would not have to be the proof of that love until it was a more appropriate time for such action. How often do people use the word love as an excuse for sinful, wrong, hurtful, or whatever it is to be called for that situation? We live in a world filled with hurt and hate, and on the surface love. That is love which is conditional or applies only just for that moment. Is it any wonder then why Jesus had to tell his disciples then and us today, a new command I give you? And that is to love, agape, unconditional love, one another. There is only one cure for the ills of this world, even if the world does not recognize that it is ill. Jesus reminds us what that cure is. He's at the heart of it. And so he tells us, let people see your Jesus. The Jesus who backed up his love by action. The Jesus who encourages us then to love one another, friend and foe, with that agape love. I mean, we have the prime example of Jesus himself. I mean, leading up to the words of our text, you'll note as you look at it later what took place. Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his own, Judas, and tells him to go and do what he needs to do so. And the rest of the disciples are going, what's he supposed to do? Go buy some more food or what? They didn't know what Judas was up to, but Jesus did. And even at that moment, Jesus is expressing love, trying to win back Judas, even though he knew Judas was going to stay that ugly course and betray his Lord and Savior and die a horrible death. Jesus did what he did out of love, trying to reach out to Judas and going ahead to the cross for us. Knowing all that, he could still say, a new command I give you, and don't put this on the back burner, love one another. And to back up the fact that Jesus was not just telling his disciples to go ahead and do this, and it really didn't apply to him, he backed up such words with his own action. Action that would bring glory to him and also to his Father, because the Father, his Heavenly Father, and Jesus, well, they're like one. And the death of Jesus may not seem like a way to glorify someone, but thankfully we know the outcome. And why that death of Jesus was and is so vital to our world, to each and every one of us, individually and collectively. Jesus was glorified through his death, a death for you. Because he is concerned about you. He's concerned about the Judas types who betray God, the Creator, and Jesus, the Redeemer, and the Spirit, the Sanctifier, each and every day. People who once confessed Him, perhaps, as their Lord and Savior, but have turned their back on Him. Jesus had that person in mind when He went to the cross. Or the Peter-style rejection. Lord, I'm never going to fall away from You. And then, He did. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit led Him back. And all of us, and all the other sins in between, whether that be the Judas style of complete rejection or the Peter style of denial for a bit and then coming back, for all the times that we have not taken our Lord's command seriously and loved one another as we ought, but make that love conditional, whether that be in the marriage setting, the dating setting, the workplace, the world in general. Jesus had all that in mind when He went to the cross. He's further glorified by the fact that a promise has been kept by God the Father, carried out through Jesus the Son. All throughout the pages of the Old Testament, we are reminded of God's promise and His concern for the people of this world, as He reminded the people then that I'm going to send a Savior. And He's the focal point. And at the right time, He sent that Son to be our Savior, who gave His life as a ransom for us. And so Jesus and God, His Father, are rightly glorified through that kept promise in the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. Jesus points out that He's further glorified through the fact that death did not get the last word, that He rose again. The grave could not hold Him in, and because He lives, we too shall live. Again, something that was prophesied, for example, through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, where he talks about the suffering servant, but also the servant who would take back his life again. God keeps His promises. And we then, through the gift of faith, are glorified right there along with Jesus. Maybe we don't see it all now, but the Lord is directing us and keeping us focused on the place where we need to stay focused, on the place that He has won for us and prepared a place for us in heaven. Jesus reminds us then, as we love one another, that our focus is not just to be earthly focused, but heavenly focused. And as we're focused heavenly, we are then motivated to love one another as we have been loved by God the Father and God the Son. Because love, true love, comes not from us, but from God. Because the love that we have inside of us, it's tainted. It's conditional. But with Jesus in our heart, that love then that can flow through us in our words, in our actions, it has the ability then to be unconditional. To be the kind of love that Jesus speaks of here when He says, I give you a new command, which really wasn't new, right? The command to love one another has always been there, to show our love for God and to show our love for one another. But we need that reminder often. Think of the disciples too, as Jesus says, I'm not going to be here much longer, and right now you can't come. You can't come to the cross with Me, and you can't come to heaven right now with Me, but soon you will. But in the meantime, love one another. Think of how the disciples interacted oftentimes, even in the presence of Jesus. I'm the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, you sit down. No. Jesus needs to remind them, when I'm not right here, love one another. And through such love, God is glorified. And so not only has Jesus encouraged us to let people see him through us and backed up his love with action, he encourages us to love one another. It's an ongoing call to action. It's not to be conditional or seasonal when I feel like it. Sometimes we don't feel loved, or sometimes we don't feel like giving love. But that's when we need to remember that love is an action. How many times have you heard a spouse say, I don't love my spouse anymore? Even secular psychology has said, if you continue to show actions of love, that feeling of love more often than not comes back. We ought to expect some ebb and flows, but not use that as an excuse to do something that God does not want us to do, which doesn't reflect Jesus to the people of this world. And so never stop following this command of our Lord to love one another, no matter what the situation. It may even call for discipline. In Hebrews, we're reminded of the fact that God disciplines those he loves. True love does not allow anything to go, but sometimes has to say some tough things in a loving way. But because we haven't expressed that love, especially in recent years, the way that God wants us to express it, we have a society that really doesn't know what love is and is undisciplined and headed for a serious crash course in meeting God's judgment. But there's still time for people to come to hear about God's love and what he's done for them in love to avoid that crash for all eternity. And he uses you and me to help people see that, to know about it, to hear about it. And you and I, as we go and help people see the love of Jesus through our words and actions, we need to be replenished as well in God's love, so that we can continually show the love that God wants us to do. So the importance of doing what we're doing right now, hearing the word of our Lord, being refreshed, coming and partaking of the Lord's body and blood with the bread and wine. For as he promised, he strengthens us through such, as we're reminded of what he has done for us and assured of forgiveness. Forgiveness then what motivates us to love one another as he has loved us. But again, if people aren't connected to the means of grace, that love that God wants us to show to one another, is it going to be there as God wants it? No. So part of helping people see Jesus is encouraging them to get back into the Word if they are neglecting it, so they truly can love Jesus and glorify him, and also then truly show love to one another, not just when it's convenient, but even when it's difficult to do so. For Jesus reminds us to love our enemies. And that may be even within the church. Someone may have said something that 20 years ago, you're still holding on to. Maybe they didn't mean anything by it. Maybe they did. Maybe they haven't asked for forgiveness. But what do you need to do to not have that destroy your relationship with Jesus and to love others as Jesus has loved us? Maybe it's somebody in the workplace. Maybe it's someone in the family. They may not see eye to eye with your belief and the stance of Holy Scripture and certain lifestyles. That doesn't mean we stop loving them. We still want people to see Jesus through us, with the hope that they will come to Jesus and repent of any lifestyle not in line with His Word. People need to see Jesus through us, because the world is not going to see Jesus on their own. That's why Jesus tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. We need to go. Invite them to church. Invite them to a Bible study in your home. Invite them to activities and help them see Jesus. But if they see you in a secular setting not acting like Jesus, what does that do to that invite to come and see Jesus? Well, why should I take you seriously if you don't even take Jesus seriously? God calls us to be a witness individually and collectively. He calls us to love one another, not just to stamp out the social ills, things that are wrong with society, because there's always going to be ills in this world until the end of time. But rather that we as a church show the love of Jesus so that people are prepared for eternity. And in the meantime can be a help to one another. So who needs your love this week? Who needs your forgiveness? Who do you need to forgive? And no regrets out the door or off the phone. You've heard of that happens too. A spouse leaves for the day. Something happens, and what does the other surviving spouse say? I didn't get to say, I love you. No regrets, whether it be on the phone, an email. Or out the door. Don't underestimate those words. A new command He gives us. Let people see your Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to a confession of faith about our Lord and Savior, the words of the Nicene Creed we'll use today, starting on the bottom of page 7.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Just a thank you again in order to God, first of all, for blessing us with earthly goods and for putting in us the desire to use a portion of those goods to share the love of Jesus with other people. So thank you for your generous thank offerings to support our ministry here and throughout the world. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all the doors. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we may unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure.
Risen Savior, grant us hearts to yield you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Continue to be with Rod Gunter as he awaits test results, along with Arnold Detmer, who is recovering from a lengthy stay in the hospital. Bring ongoing healing to their bodies, and refresh their souls with the refreshing words of your holy word. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, we thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life, and continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life,
invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you'll receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Thank you for taking the time to fill out those blue connection cards. Appreciate that. And our guests among us, please take a moment, if you will, to fill out the back side of those cards. We'd appreciate that. And then do take the time, you know, after you put those connection cards in the basket there in the lobby, to meet and greet one another, at least to say hi. Again, that's another form of loving one another. And you can feel free to introduce yourself. They may not remember your name next week, but that's okay. Love will forgive, and say our name again next week. Bible study taking place today. We're still looking at the scripture passages behind Handel's Messiah, so come and enjoy that Bible study. River City Chorale concert today here at the church at 4 o'clock if you want to come. You can buy tickets at the door, or you can go to the River City Chorale website. We don't handle the ticket sales, but they do, so you can go to the website ahead of time or come here. Their concert's at 4 o'clock. Helen Bishop's victory service will be this Saturday at noon here at the church. Keep the family in your prayers. Saturday evening, the soiree is taking place at 5 o'clock in our multipurpose center. This is an effort to support our tuition assistance fund. We have been blessed with many silent auction items and live auction items. So hopefully if you haven't signed up, there's still some time. We can make room. We're over 100 some people, so that's great. Great opportunity for fellowship. There'll be good food served, so keep that in mind. If you can't make Saturday night, because our school is also doing their performance, so it's kind of like a dinner theater. It's pretty cool. You can come Friday night, 7 o'clock. They'll be doing just the performance in our multipurpose center. See the weekly news for other things that are going on at church. You can go to our website and also look what's going on in the school, checking out the main page there. Remember that you are loved and you are in a position to love. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.